and welcome. Or should I say, bonjour, 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 bonjour.
Not quite.
I'm Jason.
I'm Ashley.
And welcome to Jason and Ashley's Excellent Adventures, the podcast that we do for Patreon where we get a little bit personal about our lives.
Yeah.
And things and opinions. We get gritty, we get real, but there's going to be no real, there's going to be no grit in this episode because we're going to talk about Disney.
We are.
Ashley.
Jason's favorite thing. Yes, Jason.
Oh, man. I like Disney. Leave me alone.
I know you do.
I don't love it, but I like Disney.
I know. I also am shocked that you opened with a Beauty and the Beast reference. Was not...
Bonjour. Bonjour. Bonjour, bonjour, bonjour.
Do you know what the next line of the song is?
I can hum the music.
But you don't know. Da 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 da. But you don't know the words.
No, what is it?
There goes the baker with his tray, like always. Oh, yeah. The same old bread and rolls to sell.
There will be some Disney songs in this. Whatever ones I can remember.
By the way, that song fucking rocks.
Hey,
that song is called Belle.
Let's just get this out there right now. I'm gonna show you my opinion. I don't care. Objectively, Beauty and the Beast is the best Disney cartoon of all time.
The best.
Objectively.
The cartoon or movie?
The movie. The movie.
Those are different things.
Yeah. The animated movie, 91, I believe, Beauty and the Beast.
So you think Beauty and the Beast is the best? Well, that's a different podcast.
Objectively.
Okay.
All right, let's just move on. I don't want to be in this anymore. All right, moving on. What are we talking about?
Let's table that
Disney
for
something.
A future geek history lesson. Yes. We are talking today about why we love Disney cartoons, specifically from the 90s. I know it'll also probably bleed over into the early aughts just based on our ages, but 90s cartoons. And the reason I wanted to talk about this is because this year Disney foisted a streaming service with one original show on it on us called Disney Plus.
Yeah, technically last year, but yes.
That's true. Technically last year. I don't know what time is anymore. And a big part of our experience with that was watching Gargoyles for the first time, which is something that you have wanted
to show me.
The time
sword and the superstitionist rule.
And I don't think ever aired in my country when it was originally on. So it was something that I had heard a lot about for a long, long time.
And let's answer this question.
And had no reference.
Do you understand why people have always talked about it?
Sure.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. But so I thought we could talk about Gargoyles and sort of all that adjacent stuff because the 90s was very much a golden age in the beginning.
Yes.
And then sort of a tapering off for Disney in particular. And I think sometimes the television offerings get overlooked because we had such incredible things like The Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, and Lion King.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me, Jason, what do you love about 90s Disney TV?
Oh, now we're switching to TV?
Well, that's what we were always talking about. Cartoons are TV.
I didn't know. I'm sorry. I was ready to go. That was not where the ending of that question I thought was going to go. I was like, oh, I'm ready to talk about the movies, and here's the TV.
No, we're not talking about movies. It's cartoons. I told you it was cartoons.
Oh, okay. I thought we were talking about all 90s Disney altogether.
No, because someday we're going to do, with Kim Horcher, we're going to do either a top five Disney princesses or a top five Disney movies, whenever Mulan comes out.
Well, I will not be on the princesses episode. What was the question again? I'm sorry.
What do you love about 90s Disney cartoons?
They're mostly okay. They're not great. Like, I'm just going to flat out say that right now. Like, most of them do not hold up. But the thing that I like about them, especially how Goof Troop and Bonkers and Gargoyles and I don't know. I can't even remember half the names of them.
Darkwing Duck.
Yeah, DuckTales. Is that they? I don't even know if they were really Saturday morning cartoons. They were called like afternoon cartoons because that's what Gargoyles were. Is that there's just an abandon to the creativity there.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I didn't work for Disney in
the
90s.
Well, I mean...
I don't know.
I understand that, but we do conjecture a lot. And do you think that's because Disney didn't care what they were doing on TV?
Well,
because obviously there was a huge investment in what was happening in the movie.
Well, I'm going to say this. I don't really... I've never quite cared...
Sure.
About, like, the executive makeup of Disney.
Yeah.
I guess this is a question that I'll throw back at you.
Sure.
Because it does tie into the movies. The movies kind of stopped being good post-95.
I mean, I would say that's debatable, right? Because there are, like, Mulan is 99, I believe.
Sure.
Mulan is beloved. There are people who really love Atlantis and Treasure Planet. Lilo and Stitch is 2002.
Well, then let's say this. Let's say this.
But they were definitely not as popular as everything before 95, for sure.
Let's just say, let's compare it to this. Everything before 95, that's when the Beatles are together.
Yeah.
It is just bam, bam, bam. Like, they're all good.
Yeah.
And then post 95, we're now into the Beatles solo's career, where you're going to get a good one every once in a while, but, like, boy, there's some Hunchback of Notre Dame's in there.
Yeah, and then Pixar comes along and changes the game.
Well, Pixar happens right at 95.
Yeah.
But the TV cartoons are the same thing. Like, it's... they kind of die off. Although weirdly the cartoons are the later 90s and then around 2000 they die. I don't know. I honestly don't know. I kind of do think that anytime like you get these crazy shows where creativity, you're just like, man, how did that show ever get made? You do generally find out it's because, like, the executives did not care. Like, that's the story of Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
Yeah.
Is because the reason why Star Trek Deep Space Nine, in my opinion, is the greatest Star Trek show of all time, and it's the most creative and it's the best written, is because the executives at Paramount and Rick Berman were always concerned with the other show. They were always concerned with The Next Generation or Voyager, and they never cared about Deep Space Nine. And that's the reason why Deep Space Nine got to take chances. And Darkwing Duck is definitely a chance. So is Gargoyles.
Yeah, and I think those shows, like, ruled and were so good. And I think there's a reason people still talk about them, but we don't talk about the Aladdin show as much. Like, all of the shows that tied into these powerhouse movies kind of came along after Gargoyles ended, right?
No, I don't know anything about any of the timelines, so I have no idea. I couldn't tell you when any of these cartoons started and when any of these cartoons ended. The only thing I know for certain is I know Gargoyles starts somewhere about 95, 96,
yeah.
And I think Gargoyles ends in 99. But when you're talking about the Aladdin cartoon, no, the Aladdin cartoon is like 93. There's also a Little Mermaid cartoon that happened that was actually a prequel to the movie.
There was also a Little Mermaid direct-to-VHS movie, yeah. Little Mermaid 2.
There was a Timon and Pumbaa cartoon that was a sequel to The Lion King.
There's also like 8 sequels to Lion King.
Yeah, I said like the Aladdin cartoon series was like set between Return of Jafar and
King of Thieves.
King of Thieves. But then there was also, like I said, like there was Goof Troop, which I think is a brilliant... change on Goofy, like making Goofy a parental cartoon. And then there's the Goofy movie, which a lot of people like, but I'm not a huge fan of.
Because Max is a dick
in it.
The Goof Troop and the DuckTales ethos, I think, is very interesting because...
And DuckTales is early 90s.
I like Disney. I like Disney more than Jason does.
Mm.
But I don't give a shit about the original Disney characters. I don't care about Mickey and Minnie or Goofy or Pluto or Donald.
I don't either.
Or like, I'm not interested in them. I think their designs are like cute and whatever, but like, I don't own anything with them on it. And the most interesting things, in my opinion, about those characters are their like longer form story. Like, those characters were updated and like Mickey and Minnie didn't kind of get the same treatment.
Yeah.
So I think it's very interesting that those original Disney characters did have this sort of redefining, and we're sort of seeing that happen again with the modern DuckTales, which is slowly folding in, like Darkwing Duck and Goofy and Max appeared this year on the show. I think that's very interesting.
Yeah, like, well, you can tell that the creators of the new DuckTales are fans of that stuff just like us, because I will say that, and again, I don't think most of these cartoons hold up, but like when we were in a DuckTales, Darkwing Duck, Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers.
I forgot about that.
Don't forget about those guys. Bonkers is in that universe as well, even though he's a brand new original character. And then Tailspin, which is like Jungle Book in a plane, which is so good.
It's so weird that Baloo and Bagheera are in that, those Rudyard Kipling characters.
Yeah. But the fact that they show up, because like, The first character that I think they folded into the new, the modern DuckTales is the Tailspin villain. So they made a Tailspin villain Uncle Scrooge's villain, which is, I was like, oh, that's fair.
Yeah.
And then Darkwing Duck was a television show in that universe, which is so interesting. And then, yeah, Goofy showed up, you know, like, but Goofy from Goof Troop showed up.
Yep.
So it, like, you kind of get the impression, like, are we going to spin off into other stuff? They haven't done it yet. So I'm kind of happy they haven't done it yet, because, like,
I was fully expecting a Darkwing Duck show announcement with season two.
Well, I wonder if what they're going to do is if they're going to be like, no, we're going to, because each, you know, secret of cartoons that many people don't realize is generally you only get three seasons.
Yeah.
Because generally network is only going to green light 100 episodes. Now, we've seen, of course, in the world of streaming that has changed.
Yeah.
But that's generally what, generally you get 100 episodes, which is about three seasons. And we're in the third season of DuckTales, I believe.
I believe so.
You know, to be honest with you, I'll have mad respect if they announce that DuckTales is ending and then they're going to launch Darkwing Duck.
Oh, so
if
they're going to Tailspin.
Yeah, or if they're going to like be like, no, we're only going to do one at a time, because having all of them at the same time is what sunk them before.
Yeah, muddied the water.
Yes.
That's very, I would love that, actually.
So, like, we're going to set up, like, just because DuckTales is ending doesn't mean we can't see Uncle Scrooge. Like, Uncle Scrooge is still around.
Or the boys.
And the boys are,
yeah.
Well, because, like, to me, like, Launchpad is a Darkwing Duck character. Even though he's in every episode of DuckTales, to me, he is a Darkwing Duck character.
I do think it's interesting that now we're far enough away from the 90s that we are starting to see these characters come back. And like when Darkwing made his first appearance and when Gizmo Duck made his first appearance.
Yeah, Gizmo Duck.
People got very excited about that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, because Gizmo Duck is from the original DuckTales, but he shows up more on Darkwing Duck.
Yeah.
So I think it was like the first kind of like hint that there was going to be more.
A larger universe. Yeah. Obviously the voice actor too.
Well, Gizmo Duck, was Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Yeah, yeah.
But the great thing about Darkwing Duck is, I can't remember his name, but he's a very famous voice actor.
I'll look it up.
They brought him back. It's the same guy that voiced Darkwing Duck in the original.
Oh, that's cool.
So he is voicing Darkwing Duck in DuckTales now, which I love, because I'm like, That's a nice wink that you're like, nobody. It's kind of like when they brought, I can't remember the guy who voices Optimus Prime.
Frank Welker.
They brought him back for the movies. They were like, nobody else can voice Optimus Prime.
Yeah, apparently that was really hard to do because the studios were like, who is this guy?
Well, the studios wanted to stunt cast it because
Jim Cummings.
So Jim Cummings.
The voice of Winnie the Pooh.
Yes. But he's also the voice of Darkwing Duck. So they like, and the new, they brought him back. So he's also the voice of Darkwing Duck again.
Oh, that's really cool.
Which I,
Jim Cummings is also the voice of like 100 Disney characters.
Again, which I really respect. I think that's really great. I hope they do it. I hope they bring it back, because like that to me is like, yeah, it was almost a shared universe before it was a shared universe. And
it absolutely is a shared universe, yeah.
Well, the original cartoons did not reference each other. Although, again, Launchpad McQuack shows up in Darkwing Duck, and he never mentions Uncle Scrooge.
But that's all you need for a shared universe. Shared universes don't have to be the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yes.
Like, that can be enough.
Well, it's the argument that I always make, right? Where it's like, in a lot of ways, Star Trek was... And I know there were other ones before this, but in a lot of ways, Star Trek is the first modern shared cinematic universe, because we had Deep Space Nine, Voyager on the air, and then Star Trek First Contact comes out. Also, Star Trek Insurrection comes out while Voyager and Deep Space Nine are in the air, and they all reference each other.
Yeah. But again, not in like a super heavy-handed way.
The Enterprise never shows up on Deep Space Nine beyond the pilot episode. Deep Space Nine never shows up in Voyager beyond the pilot episode. Commander Riker pops up on both shows. But yeah, that's it. They just mention that they're around, and that's all it is. But yeah, we don't have, every movie doesn't have to be a team up. So yeah, there's an interesting thing where you could do some interesting stuff with these new shows.
So Jason, I'm a Disney executive.
Okay.
And I want to hire you to showrun. And here is all our catalog. Here's a list of all the cartoons we had in the 90s. You can bring back anything. Is there anything that comes to mind for you, like immediately, this is the thing I want to bring back?
All right, off the top of my head, I have three pitches for you.
All right.
The first one is, give me, this is not a 90s show.
It's fine.
Let me make the Gizmo Duck show, and but I only want to make it if Lin-Manuel Miranda can voice every episode.
Cool.
Or I will schedule
it. So you're doing like 10 episode seasons, probably.
Yeah, or, you know, I will schedule it however they schedule David Tennant.
Yeah.
You know, like,
we're recording him for 3 days and he's doing every episode in 3 days.
Yeah, or if he records once a month,
yeah,
then fine. We will make it work, but I want that cred.
Yeah,
of Lin-Manuel Miranda, and let's do Gizmo Duck.
Yeah, we're not replacing with Wilmer Valderrama or someone else.
No. Yeah. I want Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Yeah.
And it's his show.
My favorite detail about him voicing that character is in his civilian identity, the duck is brown. It's not a white duck.
Yes.
I think that's so cute.
Yes.
Gizmo Duck.
So I would be like, let's launch a Gizmo Duck show.
I think you could pitch that. I think Disney would go for that for sure.
We'll make a brand new town.
Yep.
And like, yeah, it's Gizmo Duck. And
it's your sci-fi show.
Yeah. And I would be like, yeah, it's our RoboCop.
Yeah.
In this universe. The other show I'd want to take on is Tailspin.
Interesting.
Because I think you could do something really interesting with Tailspin.
Mm-hmm.
Because you could do, and this is something that the other show didn't really quite do, and it's something that DuckTales is not really doing, is you could make a full-on, you could make it a bit more serious.
Yeah.
You could make it an Indiana Jones / Avatar The Last Airbender style show.
Yeah. And it's like grand spanning adventure.
Yeah, it's the quest, like the quest of the thing, you know. Like you could lean into that a little bit more. And then the third one I would want to pitch is Bonkers.
I can't believe you keep bringing up Bonkers.
Here's the reason why I want to pitch Bonkers. Bonkers was an original character in the 90s. He is this creature thing that's so weird, and he's a cop, right?
Yeah.
Now, obviously, I would change some things.
Yeah.
But I think Bonkers is the one that you could get the way, you could do the furthest away from the original material, and nobody would care.
Fair.
And that there's something appealing to me about that, whereas DuckTales has to feel like DuckTales.
Yeah.
Darkwing Duck has to feel like Darkwing Duck. Even Tailspin to a feel has to feel like Tailspin.
Yes.
Whereas, like, Bonkers, you could do... I think with Bonkers, you could do something more like Adventure Time or even something more like Rick and Morty.
A little more like self-aware.
Yeah, and I think people would go for it. Like, I think, and my pitch for that would be, because I'll never pitch this damn show, would be, I think you could make Bonkers sort of the Ambush Bug / Deadpool of that Disney universe, and they would, and it would be something unique. Like, Bonkers could be self-aware. Bonkers could know the greater Disney universe.
Yeah.
And know that he is a Disney character.
That's cool.
That's why he's called Bonkers.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, I think there's something interesting to, like, you could even go even further with the pitch of, like, he's a police officer, right? Okay, cool. Well, he's the police officer of the greater Disney multiverse.
Mm.
You know, so, like, kind of like Alan Moore's Top 10, his police force is the police that make sure that the Disney universes do not collide and cross. He's the monitor of the Disney universe. So let's go crazy. And, yeah, every episode, Bonkers is in a different Disney property.
That's cool. You could do different animation styles.
Yeah, we could do Steamboat Willie. Yeah. We could do anything. But, you know, the only reason you could do that is because, like, Bonkers is, you know, like, there's just a lot of possibilities to this character that, like, nobody cares.
Yeah.
And in it, and it's in the name, too, Bonkers.
So you are ultimately seeking the same freedom that the people who created it 20 years ago had.
Fair,
to
yeah.
go crazy.
Sure. But I'll never be able to pitch any of those shows. So.
I mean, who knows? Please call Disney and tell them to listen to Jason's Bonkers pitch. Just play this right into their voicemail.
Yep. Somebody send this to Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Yeah.
Because my pitch for Gizmo Duck, but as well, when you talked about the brand duck, is very funny.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I would do. I would make it the most diversified duck show of all time.
You know, that would be like really cool if you were like, okay, I want like his girlfriend to be voiced by Sofia Vergara.
Yep.
Like this is like how Black Panther was the showcase for
like American
actors.
America Ferrera is the villain.
Yeah. Like, we want all the amazing Latinx actors and actresses to like populate out this town.
Isai Morales is his dad.
Oh, Isai Morales. Jimmy Smits?
I don't know if we could get Jimmy Smits. It might be too much. Jimmy Smits is the president of that universe.
Right. Then, of course, you have to get as many Hamilton characters as actors as possible.
Oh, yeah. Philippa Sue is going to voice his girlfriend. 100%.
There you go.
Like she's gonna be Gizma Duck.
You can use your close personal working relationship with Philippa Sue.
Yeah, says talking to her on the phone once.
Yeah, fun fact, Jason has worked with Philippa Sue.
I have, yeah.
We are one degree away from Hamilton.
Yeah.
All right, on that note, let's close out the show. Jason, what are you reading? I know you've been reading a lot of screenplays and scripts and stuff recently.
Yes, I'm reading I'm reading the pilot script to a NBC show. I think it's NBC. That who the fuck knows when it's going to be made, called Debris.
Nice.
It's written by J.H. Wyman, the guy who was the big showrunner of Fringe, which is a show that I really like. But it was going to, it should already have been on the air, but, you know, who knows?
Well, yeah, we're very much living in that time.
Yeah, as far as I know, they were like one day away from completing the pilot, the shooting the pilot.
Yeah.
Like apparently they hold the record for like, they're the pilot that got the closest to completing out of the time of this recording. If things have opened up and things are filming by now, this is all BS.
Yeah, well, that's what you get when you are prepared and you schedule out your episode.
That's what you get with the Patreon pod.
Wow, I did not expect a Klondike bar.
It's just the way you said it. It like immediately popped into my head. But I'm reading Debris. It's pretty good. I understand why NBC bought it.
Nice.
If NBC bought it at all. It could be ABC. It could be CBS. I understand why a network bought it.
Okay. It made sense to you.
Yep.
That's good. Do you want to know what I am?
Well, reading? Actually, I already know because you're reading your phone right now.
Well, I had to make sure that I found the name of it.
Okay, got it.
Because I could see the book in my brain. I could see the cover, but I could not remember what it's called because all of this author's titles are similar.
Sure.
So I am reading Not the Girls You're Looking For by Amina May Safi.
Okay.
And it stars a young Desi woman and her friends and how they go to a party and she completely blows it. And it's just a really cute YA romance. Amina is a friend of mine, and that is her debut book. And I, like a bad friend, I'm just getting around to reading it now. But if people are looking for cute, teen, diverse love stories, Not the Girls You're Looking For, highly, highly recommend. Amina's also a great Instagram follow, especially if you were into advocacy and allyship.
How'd you find the book?
So Amina is, I met her through Dia Mishra. Friend of ours,
TV writer, and
we all got together to watch Emma on a Zoom like 6 months ago.
We should shout out Dia because everybody, Dia is one of the writers of the upcoming Netflix Masters of the Universe.
Yes,
The Kevin Smith version. Because
I believe Dia is the only female writer on it.
She is, but there's two Masters of the Universe. There's the one that's like more kidsy and animated, and then there's the one that is like hardcore and heavy metal, and the Kevin Smith one, and that is.
There's a cute dog right in front of us also.
there's a co-pilot dog in front of us. I'm very excited to read that because of Dia is going to be on it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can we tell a story about how we met Dia really quick? Because it's just like a cool story.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so last year.
Give me a lot of name drops.
There you go. Dia's a friend though. Last year when we could leave our houses, we did a huge event with Collector's Paradise to launch the Jawin Comic Drive for service members.
Yep.
And you could come and drop it off and get prints and sketches and take pictures. It was really wonderful. And Dia just showed up. And
she heard about the event.
She heard about the event. She came in, she donated comics and got talking to Jason. And they both followed each other on Twitter already and were like, how do we know each other?
Yes. Well, here's the name drop.
Sure. Yeah.
Because we both found, that we already followed each other on Twitter,
mm-hmm.
and we'd never met in person ever.
And you didn't, like, recognize each other on site or anything.
No,
like
we didn't
that.
Recognize each other either. But we also saw that we were followed by a mutual friend of ours, mm-hmm. Cameron Cuff.
Yes.
Actor of Krypton.
Star of Krypton.
Star of Krypton. Sci-fi's Krypton, who is a good pal of mine.
Yeah.
Yeah, we both, so like that also was like the same time was like, so for the next 2 or 3 days, I was kind of like, how do I know her? And then I saw she shared one of the He-Man articles.
Yeah.
And I was like, when they announced that show, I followed the entire writing staff.
Yeah, I did that when they announced mm-hmm. everyone working on Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. And so she, you know, like people on Twitter, like sometimes when you follow people, like you'll check out other people's profile and you're like, oh, that person sounds interesting. I follow. So I guess she saw me and was like, oh, that person sounds interesting. Follow.
Yeah.
You know?
I just think it's a really funny story.
And now we're real life friends.
It was like a weird small world. Yep. It was one of the few instances where the internet turned out to be a real blessing because Dia's amazing.
She's awesome. Yeah, she's really cool.
So there you go. Follow Dia and follow Amina Mesafi and follow Jason and I.
Yep.
We're all awesome.
Name drop.
There you go.
You know, the singing didn't happen because we talked about the...
Would you like to close us out by singing a 90s Disney song?
I don't know. I mean, I don't really know the words of Darkwing Duck. I should. I know it's Darkwing Duck. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Something like that.
Okay, great. Good job.
Yep.
Bye.
Wow, you just wanted to close it out. All right. Thanks, everybody. I hope you had an excellent adventure. Bye-bye.
Bye.